Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, it was just occurring to me during worship that if we don't maintain something, how you can lose it. You know what I mean? You know, if you don't, I just got my hair cut this week, and I love having a fresh haircut. I always tell the lady, it's my cousin, I always tell her, my cousin Lynn, I always tell Lynn that my favorite part of having hair is when I get my fresh haircut, you know. But how many know that a few weeks go by and you haven't touched it, and it gets a little scraggly and a little shaggy looking, amen? Praise the Lord. And so if you don't maintain it, you don't keep it. And you know, it's the same thing with the things of God. You know, as we endeavor to be in this life, one of the things, as we endeavor to walk out a godly life, amen, we have to remember that it's maintenance that keeps us in that place. It's, and what I mean by maintenance is, I mean spending time with the Lord, spending time in His Word, spending time in prayer, seeking God and saying, you know, on everything, on anything. Just you're not making it like some kind of rule that we have to live by, but learning how to really have a relationship with God. You know, and that's the most exciting thing in the world. You know, as I endeavor to know God more, He shows me more about Himself. And as He does, I have more peace. Amen. There's a lot of things in the world. How many know that there's a lot of things in the world that'll try to rob your peace? There's a lot of things in the world that want to get your attention. And the reason they want your attention is because they want your peace. The devil wants your peace, but we don't have to let him have it. And how do we do that? By not being affected by the things in the world. And how do we not be affected by the things in the world? By being focused on God, maintenance. Amen. We have to go there every day. I've been making it a practice that as I wake up in the morning, as I'm starting to come to, you know, the first thing you're tempted to do is grab your phone or to do something. But I've been just endeavoring to make it my goal as I wake up, as I'm coming to just thank God that I woke up again. Yes. Amen. To just Father, I just thank you for blessing me with another day to be in your will. I've been talking to my family about prayers. You know, we we pray for our meals, we've been endeavoring to pray just a little bit longer. Amen. And what I mean by that is we're just not praying the same prayer, but we're trying to just pray and to think about what we're doing. And I was telling my wife as we were talking on the way down here, I was like, you know, it's not even about that we pray a long prayer, because God doesn't care if it's 10 seconds or if it's 10 minutes. It doesn't matter to Him as long as it's done in faith. You know, you pray for whatever you need to, but that's what I mean is being purposeful and being purposeful about life. Amen. And so, well, that's free, no charge. It's not the message, but it would definitely help us if we listen to it. Amen. Praise God. Tonight's message is called Willing and Obedient. And I think I've preached similar messages, although not from these scriptures in this church before. But we are talking about being willing and obedient, you know, in the things of God. You know, but we're going to talk about more. We're going to get into some other things in that, some deeper things in that, I believe. Amen. Praise the Lord. God has just been stirring me so much, in finding those things in the Word, finding that revelation in the Word. You know, when we talk about that, of course, when I pray before service, I pray that we have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and that's in the knowledge of Him, and that's really found in Ephesians 1:17. And that's just such a good scripture for us, but we have to remember something about this, and this is something that the Lord has been revealing to me more and more. Wisdom, a spirit of wisdom and revelation, but where is it? It's in the knowledge of Him. So wisdom and revelation, that is true godly wisdom and true godly revelation, is only going to come in His knowledge. So the more that we know Him more, or the more that we know Him, or the more that we know His Word, the more that we're going to be able to have wisdom and revelation. Amen. Praise God. And so that's what we're looking for tonight, and that's what I look for as I go to the Word every time. Why don't you turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Oh, I went right there. Chapter 8 and verse 12. Praise the Lord. And it says here, for if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. Now in context, Paul is talking about a gift that they were sending him, a gift for the work of the ministry, amen? And that, so in context, this is a money verse. But I believe that the principle can be carried on to more than just money. Amen. Because we understand that whatever gift we have, whatever gift we're bringing to the Lord, would operate according to the similar principles. And so I don't think it's a stretch to take that. I'm not taking it. I don't believe we're taking it out of context to look at it this way. But we're not talking about money specifically here. It says, for if there's a readiness, if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has. What I love about this scripture is it brings to light some knowledge that I think a lot of Christians kind of, especially good-hearted Christians who really want to be obedient to God, something that they miss out on a lot. You know, a lot of times we come to God and we're like, Lord, I'm so thankful for what you've done for me. And if you haven't done this yet, well, you need to. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But there are a lot of people come to God. There's, I'm so thankful for what you've done for me. I want to be more for you. I want to do more for you. I want to be used for your purpose. I want to fulfill that plan that you have for me. Amen. Is there anyone here that can say they want that for their lives? But is there anyone else that can also say that when you've done that, you've realized sometimes that maybe you don't have a whole lot to bring God? Maybe as you come to God, maybe, you know, I think about that all the time as I minister. You know, when I first knew that I was going to be a pastor, I thought, man, I ain't got nothing to bring to God. I ain't got nothing to bring to the table. I'm not eloquent of speech. I don't have the greatest vocabulary. I don't have a high school, even a full high school education. I don't have a lot of the things that you would think that you would need in order to be a minister of the gospel. Praise the Lord. But see, the Lord didn't need me to have all those things. What he needed me to do was to be willing to bring what I had. Amen. So if there is a readiness, if the readiness is present, and this is an important part, and actually a part that I didn't necessarily see when I was preparing this message, if the readiness to do it is present. See, God needs our readiness. He doesn't need your equipment. He needs your readiness. He doesn't need you, and that readiness isn't, man, I've prepared for everything in the sense that I have it all together or I have it all figured out. But Lord, I'm ready to serve you. I'm ready to bring what I have. Amen. And it says it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he doesn't have. So it doesn't matter if you don't bring a lot. God is accepting us right where we're at. One of the things that I love about the gospel is the fact that when a person gets born again, they are instantly equipped with something to bring other people in. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There should be more than one person excited about that. Amen. But there is an instant equipping. And what do I mean by that? You might not have knowledge. You might not. Maybe all you know is one scripture. Maybe one scripture is what brought you to know him. But see, the Bible tells us that he puts his Holy Spirit on the inside of us. You have the Holy Spirit when you are born again. Amen. That Holy Spirit will guide you. He will lead you. He will teach you. And if you come ready, and what I mean is ready to just, Lord, I'm ready to do your work. I'm ready to do your will. Amen. Amen. Do you know, just because you came to church doesn't mean you came ready.
That's right.
Amen. Just because I came to church doesn't mean I came ready. How do I come ready? Well, I've done what I've known to do. Praise the Lord. I've showed up. But it's not just me coming. It's me coming with the right attitude. It's me coming with that readiness, that understanding, that urgency on the inside of me that what I'm doing is right before the Lord. Amen. It's coming in faith. Readiness is also faith. Faith is an expectation that God will meet you. If there's a readiness, praise the Lord, because you can't operate in faith outside of doing something. We know that faith works according to our works, amen, or faith is according to our works, praise the Lord. But God accepts it according to what a person has. We all need to get used to asking this question, what's my part, Lord? What is my share? What do I bring? You know, there's so much of the church today that is teaching Christians to focus on what we can get from God and not what we bring to God. As a pastor, I have seen many, many issues in the churches, in people. I get that part of their life. Amen. Praise the Lord. But do you know that most of the time, there's been so many times, I can't tell you how many, that people's issues would be solved simply by just putting the issue down and being ready to be used. I said a lot of their issues, because a lot of times our issues come from a place of being stirred up, or us being stirred up. Maybe we've been after something. Maybe we've been trying to get something or obtain something. Sometimes people are looking for healing. They keep coming to God looking for healing, and keep coming to God looking for healing. Keep coming to God looking for healing. When in fact, if they would just do what he wants them to do, the healing would just come. Yeah. If they would stop focusing on the thing they want, the thing that they need, the thing that they think that they should have, whatever it is, not just healing, whether it's whether it's finances, whether it's a job, whether it's a house, whether it's a car, whether it's whatever, whether it's a spouse, it doesn't matter what it is. Amen. Whatever it is you think you need, that is not God, is not something you really truly need. Because if you learn the scripture teaches us that if we have God, we have all that we need. Amen? Amen? And so we have to rest in that fact. Amen? Amen. I said we have to rest in that fact. But so many times, I can't tell you how many times the Spirit has spoken to me on the inside that when a person is going through something and has said to me, if they would just let go of the thing and embrace me, praise the Lord, the answer would come. That's what readiness is. Readiness to receive isn't just like, okay, like, listen, you can be hungry, but you're not ready to receive. Yeah. I heard this story about, and it was about the concentration camps in Germany after World War II, when they were freeing them. And I'm assuming that it's truth, but one of the things is that these people that they came, that were in the concentration camps were so they were starved so much that they were nothing but bones with skin draped over them, and the ones that were still alive were of course incredibly hungry, and the troops that were liberating them would give them food. And they were actually stopped from doing that by, I think it was a medic or medics. They had stopped them, they said, because they would literally eat themselves to death because they hadn't had food in so long that they couldn't just receive all of that. Amen? What is that? They weren't ready for it. Yeah. It's the same thing with us. Sometimes, you know, what we want or what we think we need are things that sure would in our minds would bless us, but we're not ready for it. Sometimes the things we think that we need to obtain, sometimes even when it's things that you literally need, but you're not ready for it yet. See, there's a difference between being ready for it and not ready for it. Amen. Well, that's good. I don't know if we got on all that, but I assume by the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord. For if the readiness is present, amen, is acceptable according to what one has. Lord, what's my part? What's my share? Amen. And when I say what's my share, I don't mean what portion of this is mine? What belongs to me? That's always the wrong thought. I said it's always the wrong thought. I've seen that in ministers so many times, people who believe that they're called to ministry so many times, and they're sitting there, Lord, when do I get my chance? When do I get a chance to minister? When do I get a chance to operate according? That's the wrong thought, because the gift isn't about us. If you are gifted to be a minister, the gift is for the people, and it's only needed if it's needed. And if it's not needed, you have no business using it. There's no reason to have it. Amen? Now, of course, anybody who has something on the inside of them wants it to come out typically like that, and that's understandable, but we still need to put it into check, amen? We need to keep it there. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So how do we do this? How do we figure out what our share is? Turn with me to James 1. Praise God. God is good, and he's helping us here. James 1. Do you know, one of the things that I've noticed is that that is kind of a great issue in the body of Christ today. And I mean the whole body, not just our church, but it is in our church as well. It's in every area. Every Christian, I think, is attacked in this area. But it's this lack of true desire. this lack of true desire to know what God really wants them to do. And we're so distracted by everything. We're so off put by everything. We've sought God for just things. We sought God for just our own selves, and we don't come ready. We don't come looking to bring something. We're always looking to take something away. We should expect to take something away. There is an expectation that the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to have. But an expectation does not equate to a working trying to get that thing.
Right.
Amen? This is where we fail. Because people have, they're trying to come to church to get something. They're trying, they want to grow more so they can get something. They pray so they can get something. Praise the Lord. When the whole time what God is wanting from us, desiring from us, is us to come with expectation,
yes.
But to come ready, yes. Praise the Lord, to fulfill our part of the direction. You know, notice Jesus said, he said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Or he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? In another place, he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you to do, right? But what he doesn't say is, if you love me, you come ask me for something else, right?
Come on.
Praise the Lord. Don't we know that about children? Children, it's kind of childish. I'm not saying that you shouldn't ask God for things. God wants us to ask him for things. It shouldn't be the focus of what we do. You know, as children, we think about children. My children, when they were younger, they came to me about everything. I remember one day I was really upset. It was one of those growing pain moments for a father. I remember my son Mark was out in the backyard. I think he was climbing a tree, hacking one down or something like that. He was a young teenager. But I remember the moment when I had this moment when he was out there where I realized he isn't going to need me anymore like he did. And that was kind of a hard moment for me. Do you remember that when I had a good cry about it secretly? I don't think I showed him. But it was one of those things where I was like, I just saw him. I saw him as a young man, and I saw him growing up right before me, and it's like, he isn't going to need me like that anymore. And in a way, there's a blessing to that. It's hard as a parent when you face that transition. You know, it's good now because now he can, I should be able to rely on him more, right? And that role switches some, amen? And when we get to the point where I don't need him anymore, I won't be here, praise the Lord. So glory to God. So at that moment, we can both be set free. But, there is that transition time. But we know this about little kids. If he stayed as a toddler, where it was constantly, Dad, I need you to, to tie my shoe. I need you to wipe my butt. I need you to do all these things. We know that wouldn't be good, right? Praise the Lord. Well, God thinks the same way about us. As Christians, we shouldn't always be needy in the sense that we should understand what belongs to us, understand if we don't have something, why we don't have it.
Right.
Glory to God. And then just flow with the rest of life. I just don't ask God about a whole bunch of stuff for myself. I just don't anymore. I don't seek him for things, and he brings me things. Why? Because that's what the word says he'd do. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I do my best to live in his word. When I live in his word, I live in peace. When I allow the Holy Ghost to do things on the inside of me, when I hear the word and I put it to practice, peace comes, which is exactly what the word teaches us. Amen? And so trials, not that we don't have them. Well, certainly we have trials. But you know what I don't do when I have trials? I don't run and find 50 people to try to help me figure out what to do. When we have trials, we know what our answer is. It's always the same answer, and that's God. And so we put it before him and say, Lord, this is the trouble that we're having. We put it before you. We trust you, because that's what faith is. So God wants us all. He desires us all to grow up at some point. Amen? Praise the Lord. But the readiness is important, because if we don't come ready, we're not going to be able to tap into the things that he has. Because the blessings of God, and listen, let me say this, because this is the truth. You can't pray the blessings of God into your life. You can't you can't believe the blessings of God into your life. Praise the Lord. What you can do is do what he tells you to do, and then the blessings manifest. The blessings of God manifest themselves. You do not have to seek them. You do not have to strive for them. You do not have to fight for them.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Yes, my kids have never once had to ask me to feed them.
No.
or to have a desire to feed them.
No.
They might have told me they were hungry,
yeah, sure,
at which point I would have delivered them food. But the point that I'm trying to make is we always provided for them,
yeah,
right? Why? Because we're terrible parents or good parents? Because we're good parents. Is God at least as good as we are?
Yeah.
So why do we think that we, do you think that God's cupboards are not always full?
Yeah,
I didn't plan on all this, but this is good nonetheless, amen? God's cupboards are always full. I say God's cupboards are always full. And if you're a child, he is not telling you that you're going to starve. Now, he may tell you that right now you have to wait a little bit because you just ate too much or something like that. Or, you know, it's not good to have two snacks in a row, so you're only going to have one. He may tell you to wait a little while. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But God's cupboards are always full. We have to understand that. We have to be ready to understand that. Amen. So when it's time to tap into them is when it is, praise the Lord. We get into it at the right time is what I'm trying to say. James 1, verse 5. It says here, and this is how we do it. This is real simple. Simple instruction, but it's really good. But if any of you lacks wisdom, wow, praise the Lord. What's wisdom? Wisdom is the ability, I've heard it this way, I think it's the right definition, but if not, I believe that's what the Bible teaches us. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge.
Yeah.
You can have knowledge, but not know how to apply it.
Right.
Wisdom is to know what to do with your knowledge. Amen? One of the things that we're seeing a lot is some interesting things in the youth today. But these people go to college, and it's funny because if you watch any videos or anything like that on YouTube or something like that, you'll often see things like that. But these young kids, they go to college, they think they know something because they've learned something, right? But then they get out into the real world, and they start experiencing life, and they're like, wait a minute, it doesn't work that way. Sometimes you'll even see things like their politics change because even though the stuff that the professors have tried to put into them in college, they see when they're in the real world, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So what is that? That's what you get wisdom by experience. Amen. But the Bible tells us here, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So what does the Bible tell us? It says to ask God. Because he gives generously,
yes,
gives wisdom generously and without reproach. Amen.
Yes.
Now, I know over the years, and I don't think that it's accurate to do this over the years, that ministers have tried to turn this where it says that he gives generously and without reproach, that it just means stuff. But see, this is something I'm going to pose before you right now.
Yeah.
I don't think it means that.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's talking about wisdom.
Yeah.
It isn't talking about stuff. When it says he gives generously in context with wisdom, it means he gives wisdom. What will God's wisdom do? God's wisdom will appropriate things in your life.
Yeah.
It will make things appear in your life.
Right.
As my wife and I get better at walking out the plan of God, more things appear. And it's not because God is just blessing us more. God has already blessed us with every earthly blessing. The Bible tells us that. He's given us all, everything wrapped up in Jesus. It's all right there. We have learned how to tap into that more. Amen. We learn how to be better receivers of the thing that's already been done.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So wisdom isn't about giving you stuff, but wisdom certainly will bring stuff into your life.
Yeah.
Though that's not what I'm preaching about. But the reason I keep bringing stuff up I do have a purpose in that. And what my purpose is that you need to learn, you need to train your brain to get off of stuff. Stop thinking about stuff. It's a byproduct of serving God. So if you're after stuff, whatever the stuff is, you say, well, I need this stuff. That's great. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's a byproduct. Just because you need it doesn't mean it's any less of a byproduct.
Right.
Serving God always produces in life.
Yeah.
Why? Because that's what he's designed us to be. Be fruitful and multiply. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God has designed us to be people who produce.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory to God. You know, I just love when you get, you know, every once in a while you'll see like one of those examples of somebody who has really tapped into creativity in life.
Yeah.
Amen. They've really tapped into creativity and they design something that just people gawk at and marvel at. It's like, how could anyone even design this? How could anyone even build this? There's these videos, I've seen them before. They're these videos of these, it's like a guy, a tribal guy somewhere in some tribe, somewhere, some island or something like that. And the guy, like, you know, he has nothing to do all day, right? He's just like, you know, they say the average tribal person like works like 20 hours a week or something like that. And, you know, the rest of the time is just, I don't know, just hanging out in under banana leaves, I guess. And but these guys are like they start digging in the ground and bringing like, you know, basically, you know, woven buckets full of mud from the river. And then they make this little like, you know, this like little hut with a carved out in-ground pool or something like that. And they make it all by hand. And it's pretty amazing the detail and everything that goes into it. And it's all by with primitive hand tools. Of course, could be good editing too, I don't know. But the point is that people marvel at it. But we know that there's things that people marvel at, that sometimes you're just like, how on earth did you create that? God's put that on the inside of us. See, we should just look at, when we see somebody who exemplifies that, you know, you see somebody who's really creative, that gets like notoriety and recognition, you know what that is? That's God showing us something. That's God reminding us of who he is and who he's made us to be. Do you realize that? When you see creativity, oh, praise God, hallelujah. This is good stuff. I'm glad that we're in it. I don't know. I mean, I know how we got in it, but I'm just like, that's where we are. But when we see creativity operating in the world, that is an example. Those are reminders to us. You say, how do I know that? Well, turn to the book of Romans, the beginning of Romans. Romans 1 and 2 talks about how God has made us without excuse because he's shown us in the things which are created. Yeah. Praise the Lord. He's taught us about him by the things that are created. Yeah. Praise the Lord, because his invisible attributes, as one version says. Yeah. Well, glory to God. So when you see creativity, that's a reminder that there's always, God has put possibility on the inside of you. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I said, God has put possibility on the inside of you. Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. And what if we just started tackling the day from that perspective? Whatever comes at me, God has put possibility. He's put potential on the inside of me. Now, the potential and possibility doesn't mean the definite, right? The thing that makes it definite is whether or not we activate it. Yes. How do we activate it? Well, if any of you lacks wisdom, praise the Lord, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So many times, people are seeking God, Lord, I need better finances. And he's like, well, what you need to do is you need to activate it by sowing into this area. Or you need to activate it by doing this thing. Yeah. How do you know which one it is? You got to ask God. Yeah. He's going to show you. But see, you got to be willing. You have to be ready for that. See, a lot of people come to God. They're not even ready when they come to God. They come to God and they're just saying, Lord, I'm ready to receive, but I'm not ready to do. The Bible tells us faith without works is dead, and without faith it's impossible to please God. So if without faith it's impossible to please God, and faith without works is dead, if you ain't working nothing, you ain't getting nothing. Yeah. Isn't that exactly the opposite of what the world tries to teach us? Yeah. Well, you just come, but because you are, you just deserve to get. You know what God calls? He calls that lazy. Yeah. That's a spit in the face of God when people are doing that. Why? Because he's put something on the inside of us to create. He's put something on the inside of us to make things better, to make our world better. He's put something on the inside of us, something like him. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You remember that whole thing about being created in his image and his likeness? Well, God didn't just not do nothing. He did something. Praise the Lord. And then when humans screwed it up, guess what? He did something else. And when humans screwed that up, guess what he did? Something else. God's always doing something. Praise the Lord. And now he put the Holy Spirit on the inside of every believer so that you would always be doing something. But a lot of people act like the Holy Ghost is nothing more than just some kind of weird game we play. The Holy Spirit is meant to show us what to do, to give us that wisdom. Amen. Praise the Lord. You get in by faith, and we're going to see that here. It says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. It says, it will be given to him. So what do we see about the first thing in this? I know I'm not getting very far very fast, but it's helping us. Yes. Amen. Yes. The first thing we need to know is we have to expect that wisdom is coming to us. Yes. Do you know what I love? There's so many times where I go before the Lord and I say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I know you do. Yep. And I trust that you'll show me.
That's right.
That's faith. That's action, and that's someone God will speak to. That's why God changes things in my life. That's why God shows me things that I need to know. Why? Because I'm perfect? I am not even close to perfect. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm not even near perfect. I mean, where there's people that may be fringing on the fringes of almost being perfect, I'm not even fringing on the fringing, amen? I'm way out in left field somewhere. But I know some things about the Lord. I trust some things about God. And when I don't know and I go to God, he always gives me the answer I need. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look what it says in verse 6. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. He must ask in faith without any doubting. So if you, the first thing you need to do if you're going to God for wisdom is you need to check up on you, not him. You need to remind yourself that you need to come to God without any doubting. You need to come in faith. If you ain't going to come in faith, you ain't ready to receive. You might as well not even bother coming. I said, if you don't come in faith, you're not ready to receive. Praise the Lord. What is the faith that you're supposed to have? Is it that if I come to God, I'll get whatever I ask for? Is that the faith that we're supposed to? No, the faith is I trust you, Lord. I trust you to know what I need. I trust you to know how to get me there. I trust you to work this whole thing out. Amen. And so I'm laying it all in your court. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. The one who is not in faith ought not to expect that he would receive anything from the Lord. Let me say that again. The one who does not come in faith, expecting to get what he has come for, ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Let me say it in English. Praise the Lord. If you ain't believing, you ain't receiving. That's all there is to it. If you don't trust God, you might as well not even bother coming to him. So you need to come to God a little bit differently. Yeah. You need to come to God with expectation that he is going to. Now, what we're talking about here is wisdom. I'm not saying, okay, I want a bike, so I'm going to just believe God for a bike, and I'm going to go to God expecting I'm going to get a bike, and then I'm just going to get a bike. I don't think it works that way. Right. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Because maybe a bike would be the worst thing for you. Yeah. See, you don't even know because you haven't even sought the wisdom. See, so a lot of people are out there, and this is where the prosperity message goes too far. Because a lot of people out there are claiming all kinds of things that fill their joy or make their joy full or whatever they want to say. The Bible doesn't teach us that. Yeah. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us to seek God, and he will add to you. How do you know that that thing won't cause you to stumble? How do you know that that thing won't cause you to be distracted? You know, there's been a lot of things in life that we've gotten. The Lord has allowed us to have to teach us a lesson. You know what the lesson was? You don't need it. In fact, you don't want it because all it's doing is causing you stress. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We had a boat. Praise the Lord. I've used this example before, but we had a boat for a couple years. And this boat, glory to God, we knew, we were pretty sure we wanted. But this boat was not a blessing. It was the first year we had fun on it. You know what I mean? We go out on it occasionally, and it was fun. It wasn't that it didn't bless us when we were on it. But the things that I had to do to maintain that with everything else we had going on in life, it just wasn't good. Now, I'm not saying I won't ever own another boat again or I won't ever purchase a boat again. What I'm saying, though, is that I know that right now I don't need a boat. Because I don't need the stuff that comes with a boat. Because with a boat, you have upkeep, you have maintenance and things like that. And the maintenance is just something. Does God not want me to have a boat? He didn't give a rip whether I have a boat or not, as long as it ain't distracting me. Praise the Lord. Fortunately, we sold that boat for the exact same price 3 years later that we had bought it for. So we did pretty good on it. We had it for a few seasons, and you know, that from that standpoint, it didn't hurt us. It didn't set us back. But God taught me something, that not everything I want is good for me. Not everything that I desire is going to be a blessing to me. Because even though I think it would bless me, and this is speaking to some people in here, praise the Lord. Even though you think it would bless you, you don't know it would unless you've sought God and said, Lord, what about if we just went to the Lord and said, I need wisdom. There's this thing that I keep desiring and I haven't gotten away from it. I can't get away from it. So I'm going to put it before the Lord. Lord, is this thing really from you? Is this really something that you have for me? Or is this just something that I've concocted in my mind? Is this going to be a blessing to my life? Is this going to help me serve you more? Or is this going to distract me from doing that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. And help us if we get that. Amen. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. A Christian who thinks God will bless them and then thinks God's trying to remove from them, that type of Christian is unstable in all their ways. Listen, folks, I've watched it over and over and over again. I can tell you ministers that are like this. They're unstable in all their ways. Why? Because one minute they think they're doing, one minute they think it's God, one minute they think that it's not God or that he's going to take it away or something like that. And they're up and down, left and right, back and forth, all over. They're unstable. Amen. Praise the Lord. In James 2:14, he poses this question. He says, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but has no works? Can faith save him?" Literally, the idea of saving him isn't necessarily meaning for salvation, like can faith get you into heaven? We know it can. But what it's talking about is, can faith help him? In the time of need, when they don't have when you don't have what you need, if your faith doesn't have works, is it actually helping you? Or can it actually help you? And the answer to that is no. People think that there has to be some kind of great ability to accomplish God's will. What's sad about that is God only needs you to be ready. He needs your willingness. He needs you to be saying, "Yes, I'll do this, Lord." But see, when you're so focused on all the other stuff, when you're, listen, I'm going to cut right to the heart of the matter. We have daily lives that we have to live. Yes. Most of us have jobs that we have to work on a day-to-day basis, right? We have daily lives that we have to live. We have natural things. We have bills. We have all these natural things that call for our attention. Yeah. And yet God said that none of those things should take your attention. So if they're taking your attention, you know what it means? It's a distraction from his plan. Give you another example. My wife and I were, every spring I go through spring fever because we get, 2.5 months of summer where we can do all the things that we need to do in a year. And so I started on my yearly projects. About the time the snow's melting, I'm about ready to get out and start doing my projects. And so I go hog wild with it, amen? And I'm doing that this year. We had a list of projects, big projects, projects that needed to be done, hallelujah. And I got through a couple of the projects, some of the major parts of them. And I still have major projects to do. And major projects that really needed the nice weather. But you know, as I was getting ready to go into the next project, I started having a sense and some things weren't working out. You know, it was becoming laborious just to even to figure it out. And it was just like I kept spending all this time and researching the different things that I had to do for it and to get it right and to get it taken care of. I kept going after it, and it just wasn't working out. Now, I'm not talking about like I wasn't wasting, I'm not somebody who has been wasting my time and not getting projects done. I've been actively working at them. And when I came up to this project, it was like it wasn't working out. And so what I knew was this, that if something isn't working out, something's missing in the equation. Yeah. And generally speaking, it's not going to happen on God's end. Yeah. His equation isn't missing. So the sense I got, the direction I got, was to stop what I was doing. Now, I don't fully know why God had me stop, because I just picked up this project, and now I'm pressed for time for the winter. But I'm going to tell you this, that the project has been working out as I've been doing it. Doesn't mean there isn't hard work involved, but it's been working out as I've been doing it. But this is the thing that I believe is the reason for it. Because I had been so project-minded that I was starting to get into that realm of distraction where I wasn't accomplishing the things that I need to for him. Or my focus was being taken away from him. And really what ended up happening in that time period, if you'll recall, I'm sure you probably will, but what happened ended up happening in that time period is God started speaking to me about some pretty major things
yes.
in my life and in my ministry.
Yes.
So he started teaching me some things. I started getting, delving into the, some reading and studying in a deep, deep level, a level that I've never been in before. Amen. And it's really brought me and brought us to a place of good standing in you as well, because it's bringing our churches in those in that direction. But it was only by separating myself that I was able to do it. Now, most days I spend most of the morning, at least until about lunchtime. So at least until about noon, most days I spend studying. And that's what I'm doing from the time I wake up. I generally get up about 6 to 6:30. And in the time after that, it takes me a little while to get out of bed. You know, I do some kind of lesser things, but then I get into studying, and I've been doing this pretty much straight through for the most part for quite a while now, and I've been spending all this time studying. Do you know how hard it is when you have a project that you want to get going or you want to get finished? How hard it is to lay that aside and say, you know what, but I need to do this, but I'm still taking that time, at least until I'm full, you know, and you know when you're full, you eat till you're full. Praise the Lord. But my point in bringing this up is that there you have to be willing to lay aside things. There has to be a readiness to do it. See, I can't get it all done all at once. And sometimes things will have to wait till next year. Sometimes things will wait for a couple years. And that's got to be okay. Sometimes you're going to have to put things off. But see, what God wants from us and desires from us is a willingness to accomplish what he has accomplished us to do. But faith without works is dead. If we're not putting our faith towards that, you know, faith in a situation like that is, Lord, I can stop doing what I'm doing because I trust you going forward. I trust your spirit. I trust what you're doing on the inside of me.
Yes.
This is helping me, Lord. I know that.
Yes.
See, that's what it is. And you step into those other things. And sometimes you have to remind yourself of that.
Right.
Amen. Yes. People think there has to be some kind of great ability to accomplish God's will, but what there really needs to be is willingness. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1. Now this message is going in a total different direction than I thought it would, but it's helping us anyways. I believe that we're dealing with some things. Amen. You say, well, how do you know that, Pastor Jeff? I don't know that. I believe it by faith. I've taken that by faith because I don't know what you're dealing with. Praise the Lord. But I know this, that God's word works. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, praise the Lord. It says, for consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. In the base things of the world and the despised things, God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. Now look at this here. So that no man may boast before God. Praise God. The key to what God is doing is knowing that he's not taking the most usable things. He's taking the most useless things. That's exactly what it is. That's what's standing before you today. I wasn't useful for God's kingdom. I was useless. But God uses it because of readiness and a willingness. You have to be ready and willing. And see, this is the thing, even with our own stuff, when we're dealing with things, and certainly I've dealt with things and do deal with things, but there has to be a point where we're willing to put that down, where we're ready to put those things down and say, Lord, I trust you. I'm putting it in your core. I'm believing you to accomplish in me what you said that you want to do. Praise the Lord. And I realize that there may be issues. There may be things here that are hindering me. But I'm laying those aside to do your work. See, it's accepted according to what one has and not what he doesn't have. Or what she has and not what she doesn't have. God doesn't need you to be perfect. God doesn't need you to be able. God just needs you to be willing. He needs you to prepare yourself to be ready. And that readiness, again, isn't necessarily, well, I've got all my ducks in order. Because I'll tell you what, no, my ducks are still off in some other pond. You know what I'm saying? I'm just telling you the truth. My ducks are not in order, but God orders the steps of a righteous person. That's what the Bible teaches us. He orders the steps of a righteous person. You know how many times I go before the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to order my steps. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you know that today I came today, you know, by the time I got here, I knew what I was preaching, but I came here today with two messages on my heart. One was for Mayville, one was for Corey. And you want to know what I knew? That I didn't know which one was for which. Yeah. Usually I always know. But you know what I did? Because, I believe God, he does this with me, especially when I'm doing a message that touches on these types of things. But I came ready and expecting him. I didn't need to know. I didn't need to know until I needed to know. And when I found out, that was when I needed to know. Praise the Lord. But I trusted in that fact. I trusted that I would know the right one to preach. So if I'm speaking to you at all today, you know this, there could have been another message for you. But God had this one for you. Amen. And so he knows what we need more. Amen. Of course, he knew that way before I even knew what I was going to preach. But the Lord helps us this way. And this is how the Spirit of God works. But we have to trust it. And why do we do that? Well, I certainly can't sit here and boast because I preached a good message. If there's anything that came out of my mouth that's been good tonight or helpful tonight, and I still haven't fully asked you, but I'm saying if there has been, glory to God, it has nothing to do with me. And the fact that I've stood here and preached for almost an hour has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with him. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You're in 1 Corinthians, right? Let's turn to chapter 2 or just look over to chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4. Paul said here, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, that's verse 2, but it says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power. You know, there's a lot of ministers in the faith camp that try to say that this isn't talking about that he wasn't actually afraid. But you know what's interesting? If you refer to this section, what he's talking about, it's actually found in like Acts, I think it's 18. The Lord actually spoke to Paul and said, don't be afraid anymore. Or don't be afraid of this. Those words, more or less. He said afraid. He said, don't be afraid. He told him that. Paul was afraid. He was nervous. There was weakness and trembling in his, because why? The flesh does that. And anybody who tries to be a faith giant and says that there's no attack on the flesh, they're lying. I said they're lying because the devil always attacks the flesh, especially flesh that's being used for God. You say, well, how do we have scriptural example? Well, I think we do when Jesus was in the garden and he was under so much stress that great drops of blood were coming out of his pores. Praise God. It's a perfect example. The Lord himself, knowing what he had to do, go through. And he actually pled with the Lord 3 times, right? That the Lord would take it from him. Glory to God. Paul did the same thing when he was being attacked, right? And he pled with the Lord 3 times. Glory to God. So we understand that this is something that, yeah, even spiritual people can go through. That's why as a pastor, I don't hold back. If I tell people if I've been going through something, I'll tell people I've gone through it. Not because I'm trying to show you my weakness, but because I'm trying to explain to you that everybody goes through stuff. Glory to God. You know, I've seen situations and I've seen the attack on ministers a lot in through their churches. And God, or not God, the devil will attack a minister through the people in the church. How will he do that? Well, he gets you stirred up on something, gets you hurting about something, gets something broken in your life. You don't think that affects us? You don't think that doesn't affect us? How about when you have 10 people in the church that are going through the same thing? Or 5 people there in the church that are going through the same thing? Or how about on top of that, then you have your own issues too? You absolutely will be attacked. And people have to understand that there is an attack on the flesh. There always is. But it's not the attack on the flesh that matters. It's how we stand. Did we come back to where we were supposed to be? If I stand in this pulpit, just because you see me stand in this pulpit doesn't mean I wasn't attacked getting here. And I don't want you thinking I wasn't attacked getting here. I want you to know that I was attacked getting here. Because the Bible tells me that I'm supposed to be an example to you. The example is I still made it here. Praise the Lord. And that's the exact same thing with all of us. It's not about whether or not we're in the pulpit. It doesn't have to be that. I mean, mothers know about this. mothers who get up, they get attacked by getting up in the middle of the night, over and over and over, crying babies, dirty diapers, and all this stuff. But what do? This next day, they still have to get up and do their part of life, whatever their portion is. You know what that is? It's the same thing. But you persevere through it. Why do you persevere through it? Because there's something greater on the other side, because you're in love with the one. And it's the same thing with the Lord. If we would be in love with the Lord, then what he asks of us, we understand, isn't hard. What he asks of us isn't difficult or isn't too much. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so it'll help us if we'll hold on to it. It'll help us if we embrace it. He said, I was with you in much weakness and fear and in much trembling. In weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my message was, and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. He wasn't trying to persuade anybody of anything. He was preaching the word. Demonstration of spirit and power. What is that demonstration of spirit and power? Is it when miracles happen? That could be part of it, but that's not what he's talking about. The demonstration of the spirit of power is to be able to preach the gospel that changes the lives of the people. Praise the Lord. And so if you have your life changed by the gospel, the word that's being preached, that's demonstration of spirit. How do you? My life was completely transformed because of the preaching of the gospel.
That's right.
I said it was completely transformed because of the preaching of the gospel. I was a life that medicine, doctors, they couldn't help me. But the change came when I heard the word over and over and over again. Amen? Turn with me to Philippians 2. We're going to close here. Praise Jesus. Philippians 2. Verses 12 and 13. It says, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. See, we aren't to work out, we ain't trying to figure out our salvation by the way everybody else did it. We aren't trying to figure out what we got to do by what everybody else does. We're working out our own salvation. In other words, we're going to God and saying, Lord, what is it that you have for me to do? See, there's not enough Christians that ask themselves that. When was the last time you said, Lord, what is my part of the local church? What am I supposed to do there? Praise the Lord. That should be the desire of every Christian. Not trying to figure out how to not be here. Praise the Lord. And we got people that are absent for, legit reasons. I'm not saying that. But I'm talking about people who are just trying to always skirt away from being in the gathering together of the saints instead of coming together and saying, okay, Lord, show me, reveal to me what my part is.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Do you know how quickly that happens? It takes time. I remember a great lesson that I learned was early on when we were in the church. I came to my pastor. I really had a desire to serve. My wife and I both did. We started learning the word and we're like, we need to get serving. This is what we need to do. That should be the desire of every Christian. If you're not serving, you need to find out where you're supposed to. And that doesn't mean you're just supposed to just ask the pastor, but you need to get before the Lord and spend some time with him, because a Christian who isn't serving is a Christian who isn't living for God. A Christian who isn't serving is a Christian who is not in the plan of God. Let me say that again. A Christian who isn't serving is a Christian who isn't in the plan of God.
Yeah.
Amen. So at any rate, I went before my pastor and I was like, Pastor, I was like, I'd do anything. Give me something to do. And he's like, and he said, okay, I'll think about it or whatever. And he didn't. I kept going to him and time passed and I kept going to him and time passed. And finally I was getting frustrated. My wife even started getting used for some things. And I'm like, Pastor, I was like, seriously, I don't care. I said, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you need a light bulb change, call me. I need to do something. I had a drive to do something. And it was over a course of time. It seemed like it was at least a year almost or whatever. But it was, I think the thing that started for me was we were able, my wife and I, we got a tax return and we had a little bit of money and we're like, I got started being used as an usher, and I noticed that the landscape beds out front of the church on either side of the walkway were in bad shape. And so I went to Pastor Tim and I said, we can do this. I used to do landscaping. We can do this for you. We can take care of this. Do you mind if we do it? And I said, we'll even pay for it.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? A Christian that said, I want to do this and I'll pay for it. Praise the Lord. But that was the heart. Amen. And that's the right heart. I'm not going to run away from that. It was the right heart. For everything we've missed, that's something we did right. Glory to God. We said, we even pay for it. We took a personal, this is my project. The Lord had put it on my heart. It was my project, praise the Lord, in my mind. It was my project, so we were going to do it. And we did it. We did it. We put new railings in. And those railings are still there today, aren't they? What's that? And then I started getting used more and more and more and more. Why? Because I opened that door through faithfulness. I was ready to do it. Yeah. Amen? Amen? And I wasn't just ready with my words. I brought something. Yeah. I didn't just say, well, I haven't been used in a while, so I'm just going to sit here and wait for someone to walk by me and tell me to do something. Wow. Glory to God. See, this is how the church grows. Yeah. But how the church doesn't grow is everybody just sit there and wait for something to happen. We're just going to sit around waiting for something to happen. You know, if we sat around and waited for this church to start, it never would have started. None of us would be sitting here tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's just the way that it is. Verse 13. For it is God who is at work. Everybody say, is at work.
Is at work.
In me. Praise the Lord. Both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You are to work out your own salvation. But while you're doing that, God is the one that's at work in you. And these are the things that we have to know. These are the things we have to settle in our heart. What has God called me to do? Lord, what's my share? What's my part? Amen. My wife always talks about paying the natural bills, you know. There's natural bills of the church, and we all have to ask, what's our share? Of course, that's something we should be asking. But as we look around, what's my share in this local place? Glory to God. And that question, by the way, does not stop once you've done something. That question should never leave the heart and the mind of a Christian. Because I still go before the Lord and say, Lord, what's my share? Yeah. We need to still do that. We need to continually do it. Remember what I was talking about, maintenance? If you don't maintain that, if you don't maintain that readiness, guess what's going to happen? It's going. It's going to be gone. It'll be somewhere else, because that's exactly what happens with things that aren't maintained. They fall apart. If you don't maintain that readiness and that desire to fulfill God's plan, praise the Lord. Look around you here today. Everybody sitting here has a part to play in this church. What is your part?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As we seek God for these things, as we seek God and we show him that we're not just ready, but we're willing, as we show him that we're able to do these things, that we're able to fulfill the call that he's given us, he will give us and bless that, and it will grow more and more. Remember, a lot of times people are lacking in life because they're simply not doing the basic things they're supposed to be doing for God. Ask yourself that. That's the first place I go. If something ain't working out, okay, where am I missing it, God? And maybe it's not me at all. He'll show me if it's not me. Amen?